for your intentions for your church. Thank you for the purpose of the church. And as we just look at this amazing passage now, I pray that you will speak to us, you'll inspire us, you'll awaken passion in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Before we get into it, I'm just going to read something from Acts chapter 20. I was reading it in the car this morning, based on something that Carl sent me through on Facebook. I don't know if you know Carl and Zonta. On the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. The upstairs room where we met was lit with many flickering lamps. As Paul spoke on and on, a young man named Eutychus, sitting on the windowsill, became very drowsy. Eventually, he fell sound asleep and dropped three stories to his death below. Paul went down, bent over him, and took him into his arms. "Don't worry," he said, "he's alive." Then we all went back upstairs, shared the Lord's Supper, and ate together. So, worst case scenario, there's a lot to pack into this talk this morning. It's a big old amazing passage. So if it goes on and on and on, all it will do is provide us with an opportunity for a resurrection. So praise the Lord for that. We're in Ecclesia, which is looking at the purpose of the church, the gathered church of God, and what it means to be God's people. And there's three areas that we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks, which relate to gifting. And there's three key passages in the New Testament that cover the whole area of what we might consider to be gifts, spiritual gifts. There's one, a very famous one, which is 1 Corinthians 12, which we'll look at in a couple of weeks' time. Andy's going to speak on that, which is looking at the charismas, the things of the Spirit that are at use in the church, spiritual gifts. And then there's Romans 12, which is what you might call the motivational gifts. So the 1 Corinthians 12, they are things which are found in the Spirit. Romans 12 are gifts and abilities and specialisms, if you like, that are found in people. And what we're going to look at today, Ephesians 4, is what you might call the gifts of people to the church. And so we'll read the passage, and then I'm going to do my best. I said last night to God, I said, "How on earth am I going to do this justice in 25 minutes?" It's like, well, you can't really, but we'll do the best that we can. And so we get to chapter 4, and the chapter 4 begins with "therefore." And as you know, we always try and backtrack if it says "therefore." And I'm going to read then the passage that comes immediately before it, which we actually had a sermon on the 18th of February, and which it might be helpful for you to listen to if you didn't hear that. So this is Paul speaking, and he says, "When I think of all this," and all this is, you know, freedom and new life in Christ, "I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth, and I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory be to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, and just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. This is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice he says he ascended. This clearly means also that Christ descended into our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. There will no longer be immature like Christians. like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every new wind of teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Whoa. Opening exhortation. He opens up the passage by saying, live a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. That's something that needs to land in every heart in this room this morning. You have been called by God. You have a place in God's house. You have a role in advancing God's kingdom. You have a part to play in the building of God's house, his body. And Paul is urging the readers, live a life that is worthy of your calling. So don't run around like a headless chicken trying to achieve what you've already been called to, but you've already been called there, so live a life that measures up to what you have been called to. And then the passage is general. It urges three things, I think. It urges us to work towards unity. It urges us to understand our destiny and to grow into maturity. And we'll look at those in a few minutes, but there's the bit that's right in the middle of the passage, which is around these gifts of people to the church. And so we're just going to spend a few minutes looking at that, which is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. What does this passage say about that? And what does that mean for us? And then we'll look at this concept of unity and our destiny and growing into maturity and how these ministry gifts support and enable us to grow in unity, to step into our destiny and to grow into maturity. So let's have a look at verses 11 to 13. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So these gifts of people, And church is built on people. There's nothing about buildings, really, in relation to God's temple is about people. And God has raised up, God has called certain people with a specific grace and gifting and commitment to serve, lead, and build up the church. Now, I think one really important thing we've got to get our heads around. Are you okay there, getting across that lot? Yeah. As we look at these, I don't know whether it does in your version. In my version, when it talks about these ministry gifts, it talks about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. There are no capital letters in those words. And I say that because these ministry gifts, they are absolutely not about status. They are about service, not about being in a position where people can give you great honour. They're about functionality, about giving of yourself to building God's church, to equipping God's people, and to serving in a way that you help to unlock the potential of the church, to equip the church so that the church can do the ministry of Christ in the world. I think that's really important to get a hold of, because you see some things on the internet, you see different people, you know, strutting about, and actually this is about dedication. It's about laying down your life in service to equip the church. And so it's not about pomp, it's not about status. So apostles, like, why don't we look at these then, these five, sometimes is referred to as the fivefold ministry, the five facets of leadership that God has ordained and God has set in place to lead the church. So the first one, apostles. So what is an apostle? So apostle, the meaning of the word apostle is one who is sent out. Think about apostles. Think really about pioneers. Big picture, visionary, initiators, planters. People who have the ability to see an opportunity to look at what does not yet exist and know and have a vision to build what could exist in a particular situation, in a particular place. And has then the ability, the gift, the skill to raise up and appoint leaders. So they initiate, they plant, they start, but they also can raise up leadership to sustain and maintain what they have planted. Build strong teams to lead the church, able to cast vision and rally people, galvanize people to step up to the plate and to, yeah, we're going to do this, and build what is initiated. So apostles are pioneers, big picture initiators, planters. Prophets, the meaning of that word is one who hears and listens to God. So a prophet's priority and what they bring to the church is knowing what God is doing and saying now. They always have a hunger for what's the Lord doing now, what's he saying now. And they can see in the spirit what God is doing, what God's up to, and want to release the prophetic gift in the church, want to equip the saints to know how to hear God, to feel and sense and know the heart of God, helping people to recognize God's voice and to be able to see in the spiritual realm. Evangelists. Literally the meaning of that word is one who brings good news. And an evangelist will always be, it's all about the lost, it's all about the lost, it's all about the lost. If you've ever heard anyone say, the church, it's the only organisation that exists entirely for its non-members. Anybody heard that statement? I mean, it's twaddle. because it exists for everyone, including the people who are in it. But somebody who would say that would be an evangelist, so somebody who has a drive, a passion to see the lost saved and brought in. They have an emphasis and skill at sharing Jesus with others and are able to stir this passion up in the church. Pastors literally means one who shepherds God's people. They're passionate about the lost, the last and the least, and are approachable and empathetic and caring and relational. And they're just, you know, there are some people who you just immediately feel safe around. You know, people who, you know, you sit down to have a cup of coffee and suddenly you're sharing stuff that you didn't think you'd ever share with anyone. You know, you just it just draws out of you because they are pastoral. But they also have the ability to equip and to train. They have incredible patience for people's stuff, you know, and going round and round the same mulberry bush with the same person again and again and again, you know. Well, some people are a bit more like, let's just move on, you know. A pastor is someone who sticks with and is able to really have a patience for people's stuff. They're a counsellor, someone who can come alongside people and help them to grow and help them to mature in God. Teachers, one who seeks and shows the truth. They love to really dig into the truth of God's word, a thirst for knowledge and understanding and how to really interpret the scriptures. So, you know, you might hear words like homiletics and hermeneutics, you know, real passion for grasping a hold of the truth of God's word and being able then to interpret that into such an accessible format that people can actually understand and are drawn into having a hunger themselves for God's word, a stir up a hunger for the word, how to read it and how to apply it. Get some water. So that's the general overview of those roles. And so I think, oh, actually, let's do this first. Let's do a quick caricature, just to help with a little bit of an understanding of these different five facets, these five priorities, these five areas of ministry. So let's just imagine for a moment that each of those five was individually responsible for what we're doing in here this morning. So let's suppose it was an apostle that was responsible for this morning's service. What you might find is the apostle wasn't here because they'd gone off to Goring to plant a new church, you know, and they'd left a team behind and it was the team that was leading the service. What about a prophet? Well, we might have an hour and a half of open worship and spend time prophesying over each other and hearing from God. If it was an evangelist, we'd probably be all over at the car boot sharing Jesus with people. If it was a pastor, maybe we'd have an hour and a half of coffee time. How are you doing? Just, you know, really relating and sharing and spending time walking alongside people. And if it was a teacher, probably an hour and a half sermon, you know. So actually, this is why God has given all of these gifts to the church. So that there is, when they are functioning together and honouring each other and finding their place in the house of God, there's beautiful balance. And we have a priority on going and initiating and planting, and we have creativity, creative new ideas emerging and launching out into new ministries. And we have a prophetic sense of what God is saying and doing at this time, and people are equipped to hear God. And we know that it's important to go and to reach the lost, and we care for one another, and we have a really passionate understanding of God's word. And so there's all these different emphases. And when we think about, is somebody an apostle? Are they a prophet? Are they an evangelist? You know, when you hear perhaps phrases like, oh yes, well, he's in the office of a prophet, and this person's in the office of an apostle. And that might well be the case, and there's different levels and different expressions of leadership. I don't think in the New Testament we get much of a definition as to what it means to be in the office of a prophet, but I think there's some key qualities and key characteristics that are important for us to get a hold of. So, somebody might have an evangelistic gifting. They might be passionate about the lost. Now, they may grow to be an evangelist. They may just have, when my mum was alive, you could stick her in a room with somebody for half an hour, and in all likelihood, she would have led them to Jesus. I mean, it just happened. She was amazing. It's not just that they do it, and it's not just that they tell others that they should do it. So you could have somebody who's passionate about evangelism, and all they do in the church is rant on about the fact that we should be going out and winning the lost. That doesn't make them an evangelist. A quality of an evangelist is not just that they do it, not just that they tell others that they should be doing it, but they can actually equip, train, raise up, empower, enable others to do that. Does that make sense? So I don't think we need to get into titles, and I don't think it's necessarily helpful to do that. As to whether somebody, this person is a recognised apostle. I think actually the functionality demonstrates who they are and what their gifting is in God. And what we need to be praying for is for God to raise up, for God to strengthen the giftings that we have within the church and people who are gifted in these areas to grow in these areas so that they can equip the church to grow, so that they can equip the church to flourish. With these leadership qualities and skills that we've just been talking about, that's how God wants us to do those three priorities that I think this passage is about: to work towards unity, to understand our destiny, and to grow into maturity. So we'll have a quick look at those. First one, to work towards unity. Think about those different priorities. Growing together as a body and having those different priorities. An evangelist. Why are we having an hour and a half sermon when there's people going to hell out there? Or a pastor. Why are you starting a new initiative over in Goring when we've got people in the church right now, here, already in our midst, who have desperate need? You know, you could easily think of ways that we could come into conflict over these priorities. And what Paul's saying here is, looking at all these different qualities, these different priorities of the church, work together towards unity. And he uses he starts off with some practicalities, but it all leads into a theological concept, which is this: there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. So we are, as it's defined in the New Testament, the body of Christ. There is one body of Christ, and we are it. And God wants us to be unified, working together. And he begins the passage by some actual really practical ways of working towards unity. He says, live a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called. Now listen to these qualities and think about how we might work together in our differences, in our different priorities, in our passions, in these different areas. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. We should work extremely hard at unity, extremely hard at understanding one another. And when somebody appears to have their feathers ruffled over something, work really hard to understand why. Work really hard to maintain a humble position and to work with and to walk with and to nurture and to help and to love each other. The second priority of this passage, I think, is for us to understand our destiny. And let's just have a look at verses 9 and 10. It says, notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended into our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. I don't know what your anticipation is or your expectation of the future is, or how significant you think the role of the church is, how significant you think the future might be. Well, God's ambition is that he says, I'm going to fill everything, everywhere. God does not have a mediocre, halfway anticipation, ambition, expectation of the future. You know, we saw him, well, the disciples saw him go up back into glory. He is going to return and rule and reign for eternity. And when he does, he is going to return to a perfect, sinless, spotless bride. The church is going to be glorious and victorious. And when we look to the end, there is not going to be a single atom in the universe that is not in submission to God in the end. God does not have mediocre plans and hopes for the future. And we are part, and we get to play our part in the bringing in of God's kingdom. We get to play our part in speaking truth. We get to play our part in being his body, alive in the world right now, functioning in fullness of who he's called us to be, to shine his light, to bring his hope, to carry his message into a broken world. God has not got small ambitions. Even for this group of people in here this morning, he's not got mediocre plans for what he wants to accomplish through our lives. And the third is to grow into maturity. So grow. Let's have a look. They talked about the five gifts, and then it says, this will continue. So this equipping of the saints through the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, this equipping will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to all the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children, or Christians, only joking, like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies that sound clever and sound like they're the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole thing, all of our different ways of doing things, all of our priorities, all of our passions and our gifts, everything that you bring, he makes it all fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I really, 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 really want to see that. Do you? Yes. To see that. Wow! To see the whole body growing together, loving each other, honouring each other, and all stepping up and stepping out in what God has gifted us in. How can you build God's house? How can you bring the gifts and the abilities and the passions that you have to enable the rest of the body to grow? Not blown around, you know, blowing over in a gale, but steady, consistent, mature. And that passage just before this, which talks about the roots going down deep into God's love, that we might be really established in him. And it takes, what it takes is for us to understand our big picture, to have vision, to be galvanised, to build, to have leaders raised up in the church, to have a real understanding, all of us, of how to hear God's voice, how to recognise what God is doing now, have a hunger to see in the Spirit, to have a passion for the lost, to care for one another in love and compassion and patience, and to have a hunger and a thirst for God's word. Paint a picture of the body of Christ working together perfectly, and each person's gift complementing the other. Not conflicting, complementing the other, so that we grow strong together, growing up into all that God has for us. Healthy, growing, and full of love. Can we stand together? And I'll just pray for us as we conclude. Father, we thank you that you don't have small-minded, mediocre plans for the world, for your church. I thank you that your kingdom is advancing. I thank you for every person in this room, every person in your church, everyone who has gifting. I pray that, Father, they will be raised up to function beautifully in their gifting, that, Father, you would help us and show us as leaders how to equip the church for the work of the ministry. That, God, all of us would step up into being that functioning part of your body, all with our individual gifts and skills and qualities, bringing those in and blending those together in such a beautiful way that we complement each other, that we encourage and inspire each other, and that, Father, that your house is built up. I pray for anyone in here who has, there are people in here who have a very clear calling and anointing on their lives for serving and equipping the church. I pray that, God, your anointing will fall upon those people. That, Lord, you would raise them up, that you would invest in them, help us to invest in them. And if you are in here and you feel a desire to grow in any of these areas of ministry, whether it's in terms of leadership and pioneering and church planting, whether it's prophetic ministry, evangelism, caring for one another in pastoral care or teaching and understanding God's word, seek out someone. You don't need titles. You can seek out someone who you feel has gifting in that area. And just say, would you just spend some time with me? Would you help me? I want to grow in this area. And let's grow together in God's house. Let's equip each other. Let's allow the gifting of God to be released in the church. We just bless you, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Move, Lord, among us, we pray. In Jesus' name. God bless you.